Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota. We're all used to disappointment and heartbreak, and Lake Wobegon, we're all used to being left behind, of course. It's really the story of our lives. Beautiful summer, except for some people, you know. It's not a great summer for Clint Bunsen, who made the mistake of trying to help a skunk out of a live trap. This was about 2 months ago. And the skunk did not reward him the way would be right and proper for a Christian skunk to do. And it was sort of like the golden rule turned inside out. Clint was done unto as he wished he could have done after he had been done to. And he just gradually getting back to being fit for polite society. Takes a long time to get that smell out of you. What a beautiful time of year it is, though, the fall, September, and it drifts on into October, when the air is so rich and so fresh, and the smell of wet grass and apples in it, and horses and smoke. Even if there are no horses around, you can still smell them. They're out there, the ghosts of horses, and all of the memories of your childhood come back to you on these crisp fall days, especially when you go running. That's why people run. That's why people run in marathons, is to take in big gulps, huge breaths of air, and get it all back, get back all those memories of when you were a child. We live so much in the rectangular world. We live in little rooms. We live in little steel boxes on wheels that drive around. We live in cubicles, and we look at square images on screens hour after hour. But we get outside, and we run, and we walk fast, and we ride bicycles, and we smell this gorgeous, gorgeous smell. We taste the oxygen around us, and you're carried back to when you were a child, where all of your permanent memories are made. And I'm walking to school. It's a mile away, and I'm walking on a frosty fall morning, and I can smell the frost on the green grass, and I can smell the coal smoke from the chimneys of houses. And I'm heading towards school, and the bell is ringing. A good child gets to ring the bell, and it means we have 15 minutes before school starts. And way off there is my school, and I want to go to school, and I also want not to go to school. I want to know what happens if you do not go to school. But I have been brought up, I'm a good child, and so I cannot of my own volition not go to school. And so I need a magic talisman, you see. And as I'm walking along, 8, 9 years old, I'm kicking a stone. I'm kicking a smooth stone along a dirt road out in the country outside Lake Wobegon. And I give this stone power over myself. I will follow this stone wherever it goes. I kick the stone and it skitters off through the frosty grass, and I follow it and I kick it again, and it is leading me down into the woods and into a ravine and through the ravine and under barbed wire into a meadow where the two old horses stand and watch me as I kick my stone as it pulls me across the meadow. And here under a sycamore tree I find bare dirt, and there are rocks and ashes here, and I find cigarettes. Some boy has been smoking cigarettes secretly in this meadow, and I find a half a cigarette butt, and I pick it up and I hold it up to my lips, knowing not to do this, and then I do it. I hold it between my lips and I taste the tobacco for the first time in my life, and I feel like Humphrey Bogart in a movie. I feel dark and dangerous for the first time in my life, and Larry Larson sees me from a long way away, and he reports me for smoking, and I'm brought into the principal's office. Mr. Halverson gives me his lecture on smoking. which I find embarrassing but also exciting. Other kids look at me in the hall all day and people are whispering about me. He smokes. There's an air of danger and possibility about me all day. And that very day is the day that I tell Larry Larson the joke in the cafeteria while he is eating his tapioca pudding for dessert. And it's just a booger joke. That's all it is. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing that bright. But timing is everything. And I mentioned Little House and the Big Boogers, and he laughs. And tapioca pudding comes out his nose. And he's practically crippled by this dreadful joke. He keeps remembering it. It comes back to him. And now he loses his lunch on the floor. And I become a truly dangerous person. I smoke, and I tell terrible jokes. And now, we're reading Grapes of Wrath in class, John Steinbeck's book, and I write on a piece of paper and hand it to Irene Bunsen, then Irene Olsen. It says, Grapes of Poop, and she loses control of her own body, and there's a terrible smell that comes out of Irene Olsen. And she dashes out of the classroom and she disappears and goes home for an hour. And when she comes back, she has a different pair of pants on. It was the next day that I threw a giant tomato at my sister. All these things happened just because I followed a rock into a meadow and I picked up a half-smoked Pall Mall cigarette and I put it between my lips. I've never regretted that day. Something changed for me that day. And I always associated with this time of year, a chance to explore the dark side. I remember these fall nights when I go and sit on my Aunt Flo and Uncle Al's porch, the last evenings of the fall. We still, even though wrapped in old quilts, we would sit out there on their white wicker furniture, and Uncle Al would lie on the daybed, and he'd fall asleep to the Minneapolis Millers game on WLOL radio, and Red Motlow did the play-by-play, who loved the Millers, a terrible struggling team in the American Association, who hit very few home runs, but whenever they did hit a home run, Red Motlow would cry, "Woo, mama, that train is leaving the station. Woo, yes." Though some of those trains came back into the station and some of those home runs were blown back in by ferocious winds and were caught by the shortstop. Uncle Al lay there and he slept as long as the ball game went on. He slept. He was so used to the sound of Red Motlow's voice. He lay and he slept. As my Aunt Flo sat there and read stories of heinous crime in the newspaper, which she dearly, dearly loved. She was a good woman, and she loved stories of what happened when people go off the rails. Look at this. I can't believe this. He hit his own grandma with a cast iron skillet because she wouldn't give him money for cigarettes. He hit her over the head, and then he threw her down the stairs. And then he took the skillet and he put it back on the stove and he fried himself 2 eggs for breakfast in the same skillet that he'd hit his grandma with. I just can't believe what people are coming to nowadays. This country, what is going on in this country? I just don't understand it. Well, she loved these stories. She loved these stories. And then my Aunt Lois would come up from the Bon Marché Beauty Salon. And she would have more stories about people who'd fallen off the wagon and people whose children had gone to the big city and were shaming their own families, doing unheard of things down in Minneapolis, a den of iniquity. They loved these stories. They told these stories over and over and over again. Eloise Krebsbach, the mayor of Lake Wobegon, I just can't believe it. Well, we all knew she took up with this fireman, Fred. Fred, the volunteer fireman, been her boyfriend for years, and I guess she was lonely, but yeah, he'd come over every Saturday night, and she'd fix him dinner, and she'd make him a drink and sit down and listen to all of his troubles, and then they'd disappear into the bedroom. Not that I saw myself. I don't care. It's their business, not mine, but I got this on reliable sources. She'd take him off into the bedroom, and then he had too many drinks, and he got into trouble at that fireman's ball in St. Cloud. He shot that fire hose at his fellow firemen, which you just are not supposed to do, and he had to be hauled in by the police. She sent him off to Hazelden for a little chemical dependency treatment, and there he met this young woman who was in for treatment as well, and the two of them were on a similar journey, and so they decided to travel together. Eloise was just absolutely heartbroken. How could she have trusted this man? He went off and run off with this younger woman. She went off to a therapist who was in a strip mall in St. Cloud, and she went into the therapist, but the therapist didn't have much to say except just to have realistic expectations. Well, Eloise didn't want to have realistic expectations. She wanted romance in her life. Now, the strip mall, there's a number of other shops. There was a tanning studio there. Well, she didn't have much use for that, but there was a shop that sold artificial limbs, sold legs and arms, and she saw this arm in the window that looked just like Fred's right arm. And she went in and she asked the man who ran the shop if he could put hair on that artificial arm. And he said, yes, of course, he could do that. And so she bought that, and then she bought the mate, and she took them home, and she slept in her bed with an enormous mound of pillows next to her, and with his left arm lying next to her, made of wood, and his right arm crossed over her stomach. And she found that just as comforting as when Fred used to be there himself. She decided she didn't need him so much. Well, they sat there and they told stories. I just made myself as invisible as possible. I wanted to hear everything that they had to say. And then finally, when they'd said it all, then my Aunt Flo would turn off the radio. Uncle Al would wake up and he'd go upstairs, he'd go up to bed, and we'd fold up our quilts and we'd go indoors. It was the end of fall. It was the end of the porch season. She looked at me one night. She looked at me and she said, you're a good boy. I know you're a good boy. But you've got a look in your eye. Makes me suspicious. Well, I was brought up to be good. But I discovered that one fall, the beauties of going off the track. And I've never regretted it somehow. It just seemed to open up some of life's possibilities that you might close off for yourself living in a perfectly rectangular world, you say. I shouldn't be telling you this with your parents listening, but I recommend that you get into trouble early. You don't want to put it off too long. It gets more and more complicated as you get older. You want to do it young. Kick that rock. See where that rock leads you. I never regretted that fall day long, long ago. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.